Welcome to Theatre Audience Podcast. I'm Natalie, joined by Darren, and we bring you the news, reviews and recommendations of the latest theatre.
We'll be discussing what's on, what's been and gone, and the next hot ticks.
Morning, morning, Darren. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Natalie. How's the beginning of your year?
It started really, really well, actually. Back to work, but enjoying life and excited. Excited. I've got loads of courses booked in. I'm really excited. Got some one-woman show course booked in, which I'm really looking forward to starting at the end of January. So, really pleased.
Is that a directing course or acting?
No, writing. Writing and performing, creating your own one-woman show. So it's devising, really. So, just looking forward to what that brings up, whether it comes to any fruition or if it's just about the process. I'm quite happy just thinking about it and ruminating over, you know, creativity and ideas. So, yeah, exciting. Watch this space.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, God. I'm really, really thrilled for you, though, because I'm obviously doing my Sundance directing course and producing some of my films and writing more as well. So, yeah, it's a good 2024 is going to be a creative year for us both, I think.
Absolutely. Looking forward to your film. That will definitely happen at some point this year.
Yes, I hope so. Well, the first thing I saw this year, just snipping into the theatre scene, is Infinite Life. Have you heard of that show at the National Theatre?
Exciting. Tell me. I'm going to interrupt you. So tell me. I want to see this. I want to see it.
Well, Infinite Life, it's only got another week left, so it finishes on the 13th of January. But it's a new play by Annie Baker, and it's a co-production with the Atlantic Theatre Company. And I adore the Atlantic Theatre Company. And I'll talk about that in a second, but the play itself. So the premise is quite simple. It's five women in Northern California. They lie outside on a chaise lounge and philosophize. So they just talk about their lives, basically. It's very simple set. It's literally a backdrop of almost what you would see outside like a motel or something. And they're on these chaise lounges, basically sunbeds to us. And they just talk. It's that simple. And it's as if nothing actually happens, but everything does. To me, it was a bold, stripped-back production exploring the characters that were living with long-term pain, so both physically and mentally, which is why they were all there together. Now, for me, it's the kind of show that Jamie Lloyd should see and take note on how to deliver a perfect show in its bare form. Because, like I said, the stage, nothing happens. It's all about the characters. And now, if we talk back about this show with the bird, similar thing happens. Nothing happens on stage. It's just the characters interacting, as it were, with each other. But it didn't work for that show. But for this, works perfectly.
What age are the women?
The ages range, I guess, from around mid-40s upwards,
okay.
I guess. Yeah, there's no young women. The oldest women there is probably, I reckon, in her 80s, who's played by a wonderful actress called Mary Louise Burke, who plays Eileen. And the youngest, if we're going to go on ages, Christina Kirk, who's about mid-40s. So she's there to rest from an illness and read her book. That's all she wants to do. But then she's interrupted by the other people there and they form conversations and bonds. The whole play kind of spans the same setting, as it were. The set doesn't change at all. Spans about 3 weeks. And at the end of each scene, the character who's Sophie, played by Christina Kirk, she announces 20 minutes later or 3 days later or 2 hours later. And it just changes with a little bit of lighting, some sound effect, and then it moves on. Now, like we discussed on the House of Bernarda Alba, where it's an all-female cast with an influence of a male member, similar thing here. So there's one, it's all-female cast, and then it's a man who basically doesn't disrupt things as such, but kind of just gives a little bit of a disturbance to the easiness of what's going on between these women. And there's almost like a kind of a love story flickering, as it were, between him and Sophie. I think for some people, it'd be quite a challenging watch. It's an hour, 45 minutes straight through, no interval. Nothing actually happens on set at all. There's no set changes. There's no nothing. There's a couple of light changes for telling the time, different days and stuff. What's really interesting is I was front row, love front row. So again, as a performance point of view, front row to see these actors' eyes is incredible. Because there's nothing really going on stage, it didn't matter where you were sitting because you were following the action from the actors. So sitting back close was an incredible experience. I went with a friend of mine, Mark, who had seen the show before, seen the play before, loved it, wanted to see it again. But he'd seen it from quite far back. And this is at the Dorfman Theatre, the National Theatre. And it's quite a small, intimate space anyway. But because some of the staging is set at night, so basically they're still laying on these chandeliers, these sunbeds, in the evening, the evening light. So where we're so close, obviously we can still see all the features of the face and stuff like that. When he said when he was sitting further back, he could see nothing other than darkness. So it's almost like people were talking in the dark. So that was quite an interesting experience for him as well, seeing it from both sides. For me, I'm so pleased I got to see it. I love the Atlantic Theatre Company. They're a troupe of actors who have done so much good stuff over the years. An off-Broadway theatre company. They've done some terrific work. So they haven't done so much over here, but they're a Meisner-based troupe, as it were. They have their own acting school. And for me, I loved that the moments between the actors, finding those moments, exploring those moments, and then delivering. And I remember after seeing the show, a couple of women were discussing it, and they didn't get it. Their main thing was nothing happened. And I'm like, everything happened. You know, this was a masterclass in performance. You know, you don't need to see a play where stage sets change and, you know, things like that. It doesn't matter. It's about what's going on with the characters and the development of those characters. And for me, that was a truly wonderful, like, piece of theatre, which I would, if I had the time and if it was on for longer, I would like to see again and seeing how those moments would be different. But a big shout out to Pete Simpson, who plays Nelson, who's the only male in the whole piece. This is, again, it's how the women kind of react to his presence and stuff, especially Christina Kirk's character, Sophie. In addition to Pete and Christina, we had Christine Nielsen and Brenda Presley, who were absolutely brilliant. Some of the comedy that came out of them was really, really spot on. And Mia Kattigback, I hope I got her name right, playing Yvette. Again, the older characters, obviously a lot of life story going on and have a lot to say, you know, about what's going on in their lives, the trauma that's happened with them, both emotionally, physically and mentally and stuff. And how it impacts on the other characters and things. It's like a bonding. It's almost like the Golden Girls on a kind of a wellness retreat in some respects. But yeah, I really, really did enjoy it. And I completely, totally understand how some people didn't quite get it because it's a very intelligent play. And I think ultimately, because nothing really happens on stage, you have to really focus on what the actors are saying to each other, what the characters are saying. And how are they responding to what's being told to them, if that makes any sense. So, yeah, so definitely a must-see for an acting point of view.
When did you say it's running till again?
Only to the 13th of January, so very, very soon.
And so, yeah, so Infinite Life running at the National Theatre. I'm going to try and get a ticket to that, Darren. I know it's going to be quite tight, but I'm going to do my absolute best because I love the National Theatre. In fact, in our last podcast, most of the things that I mentioned in the roundup of being my favourite shows of the year were at the National, The Effect, Grenfell, etc. And, you know, going from what you've said about Infinite Life, which I'm going to do my best to see, The Motive and The Cue is a National Theatre production. It was running at the National Theatre and it transferred. So I went to the opening night of its West End transfer. And this was at the Noel Coward Theatre. And this was a play. You can tell from the title, The Motive and The Cue, that it was going to be about acting. I love any piece of theatre that is about the mechanics of acting and about the rehearsal room, about a play within a play, about the process of rehearsing a play and bringing it to the stage, because that's my life, that's what I do. And this is brought to us by multi-award winner Sam Mendes of Lehman Trilogy. And this is a play by Jack Thorne, also Olivier awards steeped upon him. And this is about how sometimes the best drama can happen backstage and in the rehearsal room. And this is all about the rehearsal of the 1964 Broadway production of Hamlet. So already you've got Broadway, you've got Shakespeare. So I'm in, I'm sold. And this is about the two ages colliding and the tensions in the rehearsal room, where you've got Sir John Gielgud and the actor Richard Burton. And Sir John Gielgud is directing Richard Burton in the role of Hamlet, a part that he has played. And this is about the two of them colliding and the issues that they have in the rehearsal room. And it's so clever because we're seeing what's happening in the rehearsal room, but we're also seeing what's happening in Richard Burton's life off stage with Elizabeth Taylor. So we've got Johnny Flynn playing Richard Burton, and we've got Mark Gatiss playing Sir John Gielgud, who was incredible. And then we got Tuppence Middleton, who was playing Elizabeth Taylor. And boy, did she do a beautiful interpretation. And this is all about this 25-day rehearsal period. So as we go through, a bit like the last play that you said, where it says like 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, we had a very filmic feel where we are told how many days are left until the production. And it's been quoted by the Evening Standard, this production, as a love letter to the theatre. And I mean, it's got adult themes in it. There's strong language. I wouldn't say that this is for anyone under the age of sort of 14. It's not really for them. They might not find it, you know, that relevant or that interesting. But it's just wonderful, just showing how, you know, having this big movie star, Richard Burton, in the room, and Sir John Gielgud with all his experience and expression, and then the other actors in the room and the tensions, and how there's kind of a dichotomy between how much he can and can't direct a huge star, and how much direction he needs and doesn't need, and the temperaments and the attitude and the arrogance and then the acceptance. And it's a huge roller coaster. And there's a beautiful line that the Sir John Gielgud character has, where he says to Richard Burton, "Shall I go ahead? And or shall I wait until you get better?" i.e. acting. It's wonderful. And a lot of the storyline is taken from a journal from the rehearsal room by, there was an actor called Richard L. Stern who was in the room. And so a lot of the pieces of the puzzle of this play are written from these journals in the rehearsal room, the tensions coming from the other characters. But I absolutely love this. Jack Thorne's obviously written things like, he didn't write A Christmas Carol, but he did that adaptation that runs year after year after year at the Old Vic, which is on, which was on, has just finished its run. But obviously, Sam Mendes is an incredible director. And Darren, you and I have seen things like the Lehman trilogy, The Ferryman. And obviously, he's huge. He's done American Beauty, the film Skyfall, Spectre, 1917, The Man. 5 BAFTAs, 3 Golden Globes, Academy Awards, 5 Oliviers, 2 Directors Guild America Award. Like, it's just Olivier Special Awards, 6 Tonys, just his accolades are incredible. And I think more than anything, just at the interval, I was transfixed. I was sat in my seat and I was just thinking, this, an incredible tour de force. Mark Gatiss, his ability to show subtext and non-verbal communication, just raising an eyebrow, you know exactly what his character is thinking, is saying. And there's some beautiful moments of just stillness and pause where you can see his character, Sir John Gielgud, thinking, how do I handle this Richard Burton? What do I say now? And this kind of this poignant tension in the rehearsal room. It's beautiful. It's until the 23rd of March. You have to see this, Darren. And it was incredible. And thank you to Holly at National Theatre for the press night tickets. It was incredible. The set, Ez Devlin, Also worked on the Lehman trilogy with Sam Mendes. Did the Crucible, so that water wall, and has worked with like Beyonce, The Weeknd, U2, Kanye West. The set was incredible, and the costumes were beautiful, as you would expect from a National Theatre transfer. She did the costumes for Tammy Faye that you saw, but yeah, just incredible. I can find no more words, but you must see it, Darren.
No, I definitely will look forward to it. It's a shame I couldn't come to press night, but I definitely will catch it. I don't quite get why I didn't see it at the National Theatre. I think it's one of those shows where you think, oh, I've got plenty of time, and then it comes and you're like, oh, actually, it's gone. which often happens. So it's like planning ahead. But yeah, no, I really am looking forward to it for many things. Obviously, Mark Hayes, I adore anyway as an actor, and I like the idea of this show, John Gielgud, Richard Burton, Elizabeth Taylor, those characters together, and seeing how they would have got on and worked together, and, you know, not just in their professional lives, but in their personal lives and all this kind of stuff as well. So I'm guessing it's at the time when Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor were together. Does that explore their relationship?
Yeah, it was very early on in their relationship as well. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. No, I definitely want to see this one.
It's quite interesting in their relationship because obviously she has travelled with him and is just kind of holed up in a hotel room, kind of waiting for him, but really wants to be performing or doing something herself. So she feels she's made a bit of a sacrifice of her time, but she's happy because it's early on in their relationship. But yeah, it's that there's those tensions as well back at home. So yeah, it's thrilling. It's thrilling. And it's on till the 23rd of March, which is fantastic. So people have got time. And I look forward to sort of discussing what you think about it when you go and see it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Moving on from the National Theatre and their shows into an RSC show, which is Hamnet. And it transferred, obviously, at the RSC earlier in 2023 to the West End at the Garrick Theatre. And we've already reviewed the show in a previous podcast. But you caught up with a couple of the actors, is that right, for an interview?
I did. I went backstage at the Garrick Theatre to speak to Tom and Gabriel between shows, and we had a great time. Here's the interview. So I'm backstage at the Garrick Theatre with Shakespeare. Yes. Oh my God, it's been a dream to meet Shakespeare.
Thank
finally.
You. Yeah, it's a dream to meet you too, Natalie.
It's amazing. So yeah, anyway, so I'm backstage at the Garrick Theatre with Tom Verry, who plays Shakespeare in Hamnet. And I'm also here with Gabriel Akindike, who plays Bartholomew.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So I meet you both having just had your very quick burger break after your Thursday matinee.
Yeah.
And prior to your Thursday evening show.
That's right. Yeah. Thursday's kind of a treat day because two shows. So I think I deserve a little burger between shows.
Definitely.
You haven't eaten yet.
Not yet, but I mean, it's there. It's all there. We've got such a wonderful selection of food around here.
There was a strong smell of garlic bread coming up the stairs, so I know now what I
Well, not naming any names, but
not going to name
there was
any
some
names.
Garlic bread in the microwave.
It was pretty soggy.
And it was looking pretty soggy. Pretty sorry for itself.
It smelled great, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll see if there's any left. If you want.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I am a bit hungry. So tell me about this production. I did see it. I saw it, I think, about a week and a half ago, and we reviewed it on our most recent episode of the podcast. So tell me about the show and how you got involved.
I got involved over a year ago now. Got sent the meeting through by my agent. I had no knowledge of the book beforehand. I've been living under a rock, so I didn't really know anything about it. And I think when I went in for the first audition, I didn't know that I was auditioning to play Shakespeare, because the scenes were really Shakespeare specific, really. But then I found out very quickly after that, when I got recalled, that was the gig. Then I went in for the recall, and yeah, within 2 weeks, I think I was cast. Then I had 2 weeks, 2 months over Christmas of just worrying about the inevitable and stepping on that stage and playing that guy. And then got into rehearsals and now been doing it for as long as I can remember. Yeah, it's been great. It's been a real journey.
Yeah.
You're a bit different, right?
Yeah, my story is a little different. So I knew the show was happening. These guys were doing it in Stratford. I didn't manage to see it, but it was funny because I was hearing a lot about the book. People had told me that the book was great and that the show was also great. And I was just about to go on holiday and I got this meeting come through. And I was looking for a book to read. And I was going to reread Hamnet. And then this meeting came through about half an hour later saying Hamnet. And I was already on the plane. So I started to read through the play. And I thought, oh, God, this is great. It's a lovely part. It's a play, Bartholomew. It's very much like Agnes' sort of agent. He's her brother. He makes sure that they've got this very deep sibling connection. And he just keeps her... He's a sort of vessel for her in a way. Her father figure, not father figure, but a male figure in her life that she can rely upon. He's a shepherd. He's a man of the land. It was something that I was just interested in being a part of. I was also quite daunted because it was stepping into like a play that was really up and running. I've never done that before. Once we got into the rehearsals, it was quite quick. Was it 3 weeks the second time?
3 weeks of re-rehearsals, yeah. In Hammersmith and then a week of tech. 3 or 4 days of tech.
Yeah.
And then we had back in.
Was it like 2 weeks of previews as well?
Previews went on for an age. Like the previews were so long. Yeah. And when you looked at it on the schedule, I was like, that's so long to be doing previews. But in the end, I was grateful for it.
It was. It felt like a lot of everyone really pulled together, especially in that time. Mm-hmm. Because we were still refining things about the show.
Yeah.
Still are.
And still are in front of the
audience. Still evolving.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, I think it has to, right?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Why not? Longer we're living with these characters, the better we get to know them, the more like things should be evolving and changing, moving on.
Mm. So how did it feel stepping into the cast? Because quite a lot of the existing cast, or the previous cast, are in the current cast.
Yeah. On day one, I was completely daunted by it. I just thought, oh, God, they're all going to know each other really well.
New boy at school.
It was like new boy at school, yeah. Exactly. But very, very quickly, like, everyone, yeah, made us feel really, really welcome. There was myself and three others that were coming in. And also because Lenita made some changes, Erica managed to create an environment that felt very much like we were finding it again for a first time. So that was a really lovely thing to feel like there was, you know, sometimes it was really useful to have things that had been done already. If there was a problem, because we were working quite quickly, it was like, okay, well that, it's not so set, but it's also something, it's an offering. Mm. I'm curious to know, I'd be curious. Yeah, I always wonder how close it was or what the overlap is. Between the previous version of it.
Yeah.
Always wonder.
Have you not seen like a recording or anything of the?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen any. So it's, but yeah, it was a really, it's...
just sometimes go, so my interpretation, is it as good as it better? You know, do you enjoy working with me? Or
it's really neat.
Have I made myself? Am I part of the group?
Shall we fit in?
I think we all feel like that, even in the original. Like Lord, who did it at Stratford, you never think that you've always got a bit of imposter syndrome.
Yeah. So how is that? So thinking about imposter syndrome, I mean, obviously, it's always, well, actors that I speak to who are playing maybe a character who's alive and real, that's tough, or someone who people knew but is no longer with us. But everyone living now kind of didn't live at the same time as Shakespeare, so... How does it feel stepping into the shoes of?
Yeah, girls? I mean, in that way, it's kind of really liberating, right? Because, like you say, it's not like I can just pop on the YouTube and watch a couple of interviews of him on Parkinson's.
With Oprah.
Yeah, that's when he's jumping up and down the couch. Tom Cruise. But yeah, like there's none of that, so you can do whatever you want, and not whatever you want. And, you know, there's a lot of depictions of Shakespeare in like many films, stage productions and stuff. So, to you know, took a little bit of inspiration from those kind of things, took inspiration from parts of his plays that I feel are quite revealing about him, and which is also just like littered throughout the play. And then just like mainly just like a gut instinct of what Shakespeare is to me and how I wanted to play that part. And it took a while. Like at first I was a bit apprehensive, a bit hesitant to like fully go, yeah, I'm playing William Shakespeare. I'd be like, oh no, it's just William. But then I thought, well, I think there's no fun in that. So now I've just tried to really grab the bull by the horns and embrace it. Go full Shakespeare.
Yeah.
With this spatial air, I probably have to, right?
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. And so did you have to do lots of research on Shakespeare?
We had people come in.
Okay.
Lots of like...
Well, I guess you're at the RSC, imagine it.
Yeah, so their contacts
are right there.
Fast. And you just have lots
did of... Did you go walk around the museum?
I went around every museum. The one place that I didn't go was New Place. But right. I poked through the bars. But I never walked around the grounds, like, just get an idea of how big it were. But yeah, that in itself was like an education, just walking around Stratford and, you know, the river and all that, thinking, well, Shakespeare would have looked at that river.
I let you into a little secret. I went to Warwick University. I was a bit of a Shakespeare bust.
Really?
Shakespeare nerd. So,
wow.
Yeah, I spent quite a lot of my time in the Shakespeare library.
Nice.
With the folio.
But what does Shakespeare mean to you?
To me? Well, he looks like you. I don't know, when I look back, because I teach drama. So I'm director of drama at an independent secondary school in London, and I've been teaching for sort of over two decades. And for me, my teachers, so... not just inside school, my English teacher at school, but my sort of the director of the National Youth Theatre then, a long time ago, Ed Wilson, sadly, no longer with us. I did a production of Othello with him when I was 19, 20, which was an incredible experience being part of that show. And we did a tour, we went to Glasgow Theatre Royal and, you know, did London Bloomsbury Theatre as well. We meant to go to LA, it never happened. I'm still sore, but it's fine. And Jacqueline Nichols, who was the director of Dunwich Youth Theatre. So for me, yeah, I did loads of Shakespeare with her. So I think it just instilled this love of Shakespeare for me. So for me, now when I look back on Shakespeare, I remember three wonderful teachers in my life,
yeah.
No longer with us,
yeah.
Fibbins, Jacqueline Nichols, Ed Wilson. And for me, it's like passing on the baton, trying to...
Yeah.
Make sure that my students are inspired, and as I was, so, you know, making it live on.
Yeah. Ooh. It's a connection to him through the work.
Yes.
Which is good. Which is how he would want it, I imagine.
Well, it feels, yeah, I think that's a beautiful thing that Shakespeare does, is that when it's... I found myself being really intimidated by a lot of his work at school, right. And it's actually... once I started to listen to it from in different contexts,
yes.
And hear it from different voices, go that this work that this man created is, it can be done in so many, it's so universal. Yes. And so, you know, I've seen it done in Polish, I've seen it done in Japanese, I've seen it done, and it's still got the same essence.
Yeah.
Which I think is, I mean, I'm not saying...
No, but that's true. That's the power of it. And at the end of the day, people went to hear a play. It was never written down apart from in parts for the actors. It was not meant to be studied like it is in the English classroom. It was meant to, you know, you're meant to read it and live off the page.
Bodily.
And like you say, you know, listening to it in Polish or whatever, hearing a regional accent doing Shakespeare is always way more interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so nerdy, I went away and read them in German.
Wow.
I was doing my German A-level. I was like, oh, yeah. I'll read them. I don't know what happened there. I wouldn't be able to do that now. I was clearly very bright back then. Those brain cells slowly died. But yeah, no, just, you know, it is like watching dance. You don't have any words in that, but you understand what's going on. It's like when you go watch an opera in a different language. It's thrilling.
Yeah.
But you watch and you, it's the body language. It's the acting
yeah.
behind it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so the second act is quite exciting because we get to hear some of Shakespeare's words and your stage transforms completely. I found the second half quite different, actually, because the first half's very much in Stratford,
yeah,
at home, the family life.
Yeah.
And then that second half, without doing any spoilers, you know, we hit London and the rehearsal room. How did that feel then? Because you've almost got one set of actors with you in the first
yeah.
half and then almost a different set of actors.
Completely different location.
Yeah.
It really does feel like a play of two halves, and also because so much time has passed between Act 1 and Act 2, feels almost like a different person as well. Act 2, like the tavern, the scenes with the actors and the scenes where you get to do Shakespeare are just like... they're a lot of fun. Like, I don't really know any other way to describe it. Like, we just have a laugh with them, and I think we all have this sort of similar mindset on like trying to change things up every night in those scenes and not being just not getting too stuck on anything. So that's really good. And yeah, doing Shakespeare as Shakespeare. Again, you can have some fun with that. Maybe Shakespeare couldn't speak Shakespeare very well. I doubt it.
So talk to me about this character of Bartholomew. So, you know, it's not the set. You're stepping into the shoes of someone who was real, but probably very little
very little written about him. A few records. I think the book that we had about the rehearsal room is the Germaine Greer. I forget the title of the book, but it's a sort of account of Anne Hathaway.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few bits in there about how... but it's a similar sort of thing, is that, you know, this time has gone, and I think in the first act, a lot of it is, you know, it's the obstacle, really, the obstacle of the fact that this man is... how useful is he? One of the things that is really when we were walking around Stratford... it struck me how the scale, you know, it's very easy to sort of hop in your car now and just whip around the corner to Shottery, but the scale of like the town being a walk away, that like the town and the country were slightly different places and different things were needed. And I think in the first act, the sort of shock of what's happened, it just spurs him into action. So he's very much sort of like just setting up, and it runs at quite a pace as well. And putting out fires, and then I think William starts to grow on him, and then for the second act, he's not there very much.
Mm.
But then, without there being a huge spoiler, which is probably a spoiler anyway, I feel like we do earn that moment that comes, you know, the silence.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's what happens, you know, that we arrive at that space that
yeah, it's interesting. It's a play that has no spoiler if you know the story of William Shakespeare.
Yeah.
So for me, at the interval, I was like, well, I know what's going to happen in the second half.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but for those people that know nothing about Shakespeare, then it's like, I'm not going to say what happens.
Yeah.
Or why it may be that it's that title.
I know. Yeah.
But we were saying when we were reviewing the play that that is, you know, it's obviously the title of the play is Hamlet, which is because this is the title of the novel. But it's pretty much about her life until we get to the second. It really is about her, almost from her perspective, and people are learning more about her because... I guess it's like, you know, you go watch Hamilton, you find out about Hamilton, who people didn't really know so much about politically before going to see the musical. But I would say it's more about her than it is about her children.
I would agree.
Yeah. So yeah. It's just quite interesting. And I think it's been made into a film. Do you get to be in there?
Do we get to be there? Yes.
No, I didn't.
I don't think so.
We would like to be in it. Putting it out there.
Just
manifesting it into the world.
I was thinking the other day, like,
I'd quite like an extras part in that, please.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
An extra. We could all play.
Speaking.
Yeah,
there we go. Yeah.
No, they are making a film, right?
I've heard about that.
Yeah. Job behind the bar in the tavern.
I wonder if.
Like old casting type. I think I can still do that. Good. Yeah. Put it out there.
What can I mean?
In the school holidays.
You know this. You know the chapter in the book where the plague is spreading.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to.
Oh yeah,
it would be like the it's a flea, isn't it? Or something.
A flea and the dead cat.
Oh,
the merchant.
Yes, I reckon I could give a good flea
in one of the against the green screen.
Yeah, green screen and like a cat burglar outfit. Yeah,
fantastic.
I can see, like, I think that the what I really like about Hamnet in general is that there's so much story behind it that it really can stand the test of being a book and a play and a film and all those three things being completely separate from each other, and I think actually quite different from each other, because you can't, it's a really difficult task, I think, to put a book on stage, especially a book that is inside somebody's head. It's very interior. I think the play completely, I really like what the play does with the book and sort of becomes its own thing rather than being a play of a book.
Yes.
Stands alone.
Yeah.
I think people have sort of, I had a few people come the other day.
Yeah.
I was like taken aback by, that was their response. They said I think someone said it is like a poem of the book.
I know.
I thought that was a really lovely response, because they saw exactly that separation of it being not a literal translation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And instead it's a development on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure the film will be something completely different as well.
Yeah, and it's time, isn't it, for more stories about Shakespeare, I feel. We've had Shakespeare in Love, that was years ago.
Oh, yeah. Do you like that?
No, I wasn't a fan.
Oh, no.
No,
disappointment.
No, there were so many kind of historical inaccuracies, but then these were fed to me by my tutors when I was at university, because it was round about the same time, and they were like, "Oh God, people are so pretty and made up. They would have been dirty and grubby and
no tea.
All this, there would have been no tea. All of this, you know, the stench of London. And, you know, so there's a few issues there, which obviously I've not watched it for." Probably about 2 decades.
No.
Maybe I should watch it again and I'll be like, actually, it's beautiful. I really enjoy it now.
It's nice if, like, it's a nice watch. Like, but what's interesting in that film and, like, loads of other things that I've seen as well is, like, Shakespeare's attitude towards his wife in most things is negative.
Mm.
He's, like, always complaining about this woman back at home, this older woman. And I like that we don't do that, you know. And this is an important part of his life. I just like that it's not... That the spotlight isn't on Shakespeare. Isn't
it? Although he selfishly returns back to London.
He does, yeah. He must. Yeah. He must.
He must pursue it. Well, we needed all of the plays.
Yeah. What's your favourite play?
Othello.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it really is. I've seen so many over the years. There's more coming out. There's like one next year. Or is it already out? Not sure.
Oh, a new Shakespeare.
Very soon. No, nothing. Yeah, he's written another one. He came to me in a vision. There was a dagger, all sorts of skulls and stuff. And through me, it's going to come out. Yeah. We've got a knock at the door.
Hello.
Hello.
Where are they,
would you like? Okay. So it's nearly time for them to go and do probably a fight call of warm up. Do we warm up when we've got a two-show day?
Before the matinee, and then it's optional. I'm in between.
Mm.
You go here.
And you've got to eat, haven't you? You've got to have a burger.
You get a burger.
Yeah,
get
so.
Back stretches in.
So, who should come and see this show? Just to do my wrapping up question. So, who should come and see this show?
I think anybody that is curious to see something that is. It really centres around family and the tensions between families and how a family moves on once, you know, we all are walking in the same direction. Like, death is definitely a part of our existence. And I think back then, it's such a picture of what it was, that it was everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, we were reading something about children being so susceptible to death, and it was very, I think people often argue as to whether, like, how much they would have cared. I think that's one I heard recently.
I really?
Well, Shakespeare wouldn't have cared that much about his child die.
Really?
Yeah. I challenge any human to not feel
anything.
Anything.
Yeah.
Whether you're losing a child. And I think, I think that is it. And, you know, the nebulous of this play is, like, is our humanity and how the strength of someone to move on through such a tragic occurrence, and also the brilliance that comes with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, man.
You know, yeah. So resilience,
it's awesome, and inspiration.
Creativity that comes from the depths of despair.
Yeah. The themes are really, like, universal modern themes. Always Elizabethan. You know, love, passion, angst, loss, despair, hope. All, it's all there, and it spans such a lifetime. It's real, like, it's just this. It's a life. It's like a slice of life on stage. Mm. So come and watch it, please.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So we're running until February the 17th?
Yeah.
I got that right?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good, good. And, yeah, so, you know, highly recommended from us. I'll probably come and see it at the end of the run.
Evolved.
Any advice, last minute tips for those people who are entering the profession, or actors who are young, just straight out of drama school? Because you've been doing this gig for a while now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Film. TV.
Stay true. That's the classic
one.
I think it is, in a way.
It's like. It's cliche because it's true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, don't lose sight of who you are and try and stick to your guns and stuff.
And trust that is enough.
You're like, okay. Just wheeling out all the cliches.
Brilliant. I love it.
Never give up, you know.
Read everything.
Keep going. Oh, brilliant. Oh, well, thank you so much. It's been wonderful to chat to you both. I hope you have a great rest of the run, and I hope you get your burger in time and don't get indigestion. And so thanks for chatting to us between shows.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Why not grab a ticket to one of the shows mentioned in this podcast? Tune in next time and recommend us to your friends and family.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Theatre Audience Podcast, and on Twitter at Theatre Audie Pod. Until the next time, goodbye, and thank you for listening.